In the studio with us now, we have two Lewisburg residents, a husband and wife, who participated in writing a book with the help of their daughter. We have in the studio, Angie Meadows is here. She is a nurse from Lewisburg. Welcome aboard.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming in. Pull that mic so that it's kind of facing you, too, if you don't mind, sort of if you see the, sort of the way mine's set up. And Dr. Perry Meadows is back. We've interviewed him a couple of times, the Geisinger Drug Take-Back Task Force. Situation is one of the committees on which you serve, and I've talked to you a couple times there. Welcome back.
Good morning, Mark.
I really do appreciate you being here talking to us about the opioid crisis in the past. Well, you two, plus your daughter, participated in writing a book, A Thousand Tears, An Enabler's Journey, and there's also a separate Christian version of that, a Christian perspective, so that's a book that's out there, too. So we're going to talk about that, but these are sort of hand-in-hand books, but one has a slightly different perspective to it, so we'll talk about that. Angie Meadows, who's a registered nurse and has a master's degree, Dr. Meadows is an MD, and you are a lawyer, too?
I went to law school as well, Mark.
Okay, very well. And Sarah Meadows, of course, is with us, or is the daughter. At this point, she has a bachelor's degree, but she's upwardly mobile and studying hard, and if she's not a doctoral candidate yet, she will be in the years ahead, so get ready for that. So she's a natural-born talent. But you wrote a book, and it's not specifically about opioid addiction or addiction of any kind. It's not specifically about people who are hooked. It's not written about how to get off of drugs. It's not the 9-step or 12-step program or anything like that. This is all about enablers. Doc, first, why write a book about enabling? And then we'll get Angie involved in this.
Well, Mark, first, let's say what an enabler is. An enabler is one who empowers another to persist in self-destructive behaviors. And we were enablers. We are enablers. We're enablers in recovery, but with my stepson, we did everything we could to keep him out of trouble, to help him, you know, try to right himself. And in the process, we just enabled him to continue down the road of destruction.
And who has the real dilemma, the addict or the enabler?
I believe it's the enabler. Because the enabler, they deny that there's a problem by putting money at it. And then when that doesn't work, then they get angry because they're like, I gave them money, I've invested in it, and now they're not straightening up. And they don't understand the power of drugs and how they have no means to help this addict. This addict needs much more help than they could ever give them. So then they start bargaining with the addict, trying to manipulate them to do what's right. And instead, the addict learns how to manipulate them and manipulate their finances, manipulate their time, manipulate their energy. And so when the enabler really realizes that they can't help them, they get depressed. And so when they're depressed, they're like, well, okay, I've got to put more money at this because more money is going to fix this problem. But there is no amount of money in the entire world that will fix an addict's problem. They have to want it. So the only way an enabler can stop enabling is just to accept the fact that they have the right to make poor decisions and also the right to reap the consequences of those decisions so that they may learn.
All right, so in the book, you start out talking a little bit about addiction and getting addicted and an addict and so on, and you talk about the fact that there is a series of things that are going on in the addict's life. All the rest of the book is about enabling. What is wrong with people who help the addict? You say an enabler is a soft target. What do you mean by an enabler being a soft target?
We are too empathetic. If you make a wrong choice, if they get a speeding ticket, they need to pay for their speeding ticket. If they get a DUI, they need to suffer for that. You don't need to go get a lawyer and get them out of DUIs, and you don't need to pay their fees and fines. Let them learn early and young when it's a very small consequence.
So if they need booze, they have to go get it?
If they're in third grade and they forgot their homework, why should you bring it to them? You have just learned to usurp their responsibility for their own actions. So let them learn when they're really little, when it's small consequences.
Enablers are a soft target. Were you part of a soft target system that was set up for some addict?
Oh, I was absolutely a soft target. I mean, I felt like as a parent I needed to save and rescue every time something bad happened. And unfortunately, I perpetuated the issue.
Well, yeah, you're
for
an
a long time.
MD, you can heal, you know. So holy smokes, you got it all. Okay, so an enabler is a soft target. The addict knows that, and they use that, and they use that to their advantage. Mm-hmm. You don't actually say it in here, but every time the addict is speaking, they're lying, I think, is the subtext that's in here, right?
That's true. Right. If they're opening their mouth, they're lying.
Right.
And that it's the drugs that's talking to you. It's not your beautiful child. It's not your husband. It's not your loved one. It's the drugs, and you have to be able to discern that and let them find their own recovery path.
All right, all the rest of the book, hundreds of pages, then go into helping the enabler deal with their issues. This is a counseling session. All three of the Meadows might as well be a psychiatrist the way you dig into this. And it is excruciatingly deep detail about how to dig into yourself. And it all starts out with this sentence. The enabler has unresolved guilt from the past. And that sparks or is a catalyst for the enabling. How about that? Unresolved guilt.
I think we all do, Mark. I think there are things in our past that concern us or bother us, and we may not even realize it at first. But because of that unresolved guilt, then we feel the need to help someone else not have the past issues and not have the guilt that you have about whatever issue it was in the past.
Well, everybody should read this book, A Thousand Tears, An Enabler's Journey by the Meadows of Family. I think everybody would benefit because everybody has something unresolved, right? I mean, how it manifests itself, enabling might be one way, but there would be 100 other ways.
But don't you think society tells us that we're responsible for our family? And so what I am saying in this book is that we are not responsible for irresponsible adults. I mean, yes, we're responsible when they're children. Yes, we're responsible for elderly parents. But in between, when they're doing irresponsible actions, why should we get their consequences? Why shouldn't they get their consequences? Because if I usurp their consequences, if they're creating a tornado and I get in the way, I'm the one that reaps the consequences, and they just keep going down the road.
All right, so give my audience a sense of what's in here.
Okay, there are many, many self-evaluation charts. There's how to evaluate whether this addict is giving you true or false repentance. There's an excuse maker list so that you can see the excuses that you're making for them. There's the ability to look at your own dysfunctional thinking and how to build a trust scale so that you're not being... They have to earn their trust. You're not just giving them their trust because they said they were sorry, but their words have to match their actions. And then there's an entanglement gauge so that you can see how entangled you are with another person that's in a toxic addiction. There's toxic relationship warning signs and toxic relationships enablers cycles and toxic relationship cycles and healthy relationship cycles so that you can see the difference between a toxic relationship and a healthy relationship. There's manipulation cycles. And all addicts manipulate. Well, all enablers manipulate too. They're just manipulating for good. And then the enablers manipulate for their purposes to get drugs. So we have to learn how to have the steps to handle a manipulation. And then we have to learn how to confront someone who's in full-blown rebellion by confronting ourselves first. And then there's other entitlement attitudes and guilt traps that they use on us and how to protect ourselves and how to realize when we're in a helpless syndrome and how to realize destructive decisions and have it has different scenarios of people that you could help and people that they're so far down the road that they need confined. They need treatment centers. They need so much more than what you could give them.
So the enabler or the addict has a disease, you know, and it helps influence their behavior. But the enabler is the one that is in deep trouble. I mean, they're in a cycle. It probably won't end in their death, which can happen for an individual who's addicted. But for the enabler, they're stuck. The wounded heart cycle might be involved, where it starts out with an emotional wound And then sometimes they feel overwhelmed, and then sometimes bitterness, and sometimes self-pity, and sometimes they feel helpless and chained, and then an emotional mess, and then depressed, and then tormented thinking, and that leaves an emotional wound.
Yes, and then there's another cycle is how to totally unravel that.
Okay, right.
Right, yeah, the next chapter.
Yeah, this book isn't just Old Testament. You got the solution here,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So,
right.
That's in here, too. What's the name of the help cycle that is the positive way out? I think I'm about to turn.
It's the wounded
recovery.
Heart recovery cycle.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Well, that's a simple enough name. I'm trying to make this harder than it needs to be. And I mentioned Old Testament, and there is a Christian version of this book, A Thousand Tears, An Enabler's Journey, has a... What's that one called? Christian Perspective?
Enabler's Journey, A Christian Perspective.
And tell me about that. What's different? Looks bigger.
I spent months putting about 150 scriptures in it so you could see the principles of what I was saying was true. You know, if a man doesn't work, you don't feed him.
Okay.
You know, you don't, if somebody smacks you in the face, you don't just keep giving to them. It's not like, it's like if they cause division, warn them once and warn them twice and walk away. If they want you zealous, they want you zealous for them. They don't want you zealous for good works. They want you zealous to enable them. They're teaching you another gospel, and that gospel is I have a right to your money. And so we have elderly that are being abused, that are being neglected because their other family members can't help them because all they're doing is being obsessed and consumed with trying to help this addict, whether it's a child or a grandchild or a mate. And so they're being robbed, and here they are at the end of their lives, having given away $1 million or $1.5 million of all their retirement, of all their assets, and now they're sitting in government housing, and you still can't help them because they've got addicts at their feet. And so every first of the month, by the time the third of the month comes around, they haven't bought their medicine and all their money's gone because the addict was standing there at the first of the month. And you can't go in and help them because it's all about giving them more money. And you give them money for food, and they give it to the addict. So it's very difficult for elderly to understand that these people have to learn the hard way, and that it's okay, that's the loving thing to do.
Three authors, two books, A Thousand Tears, An Enabler's Journey, and A Thousand Tears, A Christian Perspective. Angie Meadows, who you just heard speaking, an RN from Lewisburg. Dr. Perry Meadows, Geisinger doc and has a law degree. And Sarah Meadows, who's their daughter, co-authored a book, two books that are out. There's going to be a book signing this weekend, Barnes & Noble in Lewisburg from 10 to 2. You want to find out about this. This is good reading for everybody, though. Even if you can't identify the addict or your own guilt or wound, this is good.
Once you get past the first four chapters, it's for everybody. It's for every relationship. Mm-hmm. It's for every dysfunctional relationship to be able to reclaim your peace and your joy in a peaceful home.
Yeah, this is spring cleaning for the soul. No argument about that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back at 7:40 or so. We have Winternet coming up, CNBC Business Minute, and we'll have a quick news update, and AccuWeather's on the way. And thank you so much for joining us here on WDKOK Sunrise. We are talking to Dr. Perry Meadows. Folks will know him within the Geisinger system. Helps out with the Opioid Coalition, the Drug Take-Back Task Force that's hard at work, and they got a lot of other deliverables that they're working on. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Mark.
I do appreciate that. Angie Meadows is here. She's a registered nurse. They are husband and wife. They live in the Lewisburg area, and they are co-authors along with their daughter, Sarah Meadows, who's only got a bachelor's degree so far, but she's the smartest girl in the room wherever she goes, and she's upwardly mobile. So the whole family worked on writing a book, and we're not going to talk about anything personal about their family, but suffice to say, and I think it's clear in the book that they dealt with people either in a near or extended family who are dealing with addiction. But turns out the addict isn't the sickest person in the house. And that is really what we're talking about. Their book, A Thousand Years, An Enabler's Journey, or the one that comes with scripture in it, A Thousand Years, A Christian Perspective, that is available at Amazon, and it's going to be at Barnes & Noble this weekend when they hold a book sale. Well, it's probably there at Barnes & Noble's right now, but they'll be there this weekend for a book signing. Saturday from 10 to 2. All three of you will be there at Barnes & Noble?
It'll just be Angie and myself.
All right, so just the parents are going to be there from 10 to 2, Barnes & Noble, and talking about 1,000 Tears, an enabler's journey, talking about the fact that, yes, addicts certainly have some issues, but the enabler is the individual who's the soft target, has the issues to overcome, and is the sickest person in the house. What do you think about that summary?
I think if we can't change ourselves, then there's no way we can change anybody else. And it's not our responsibility to fix anyone else. And when we try to manipulate people and circumstances, it causes all of our suffering. So enabling is a lot of self-induced suffering. And enabling causes us so much anxiety that we can't function in life and we can't have a normal life and healthy relationships with other people. So if we have an addict in our life that we're trying to fix, then that person gets all of our attention and all of the people that we could help and love and have a relationship gets pushed aside.
So the addict relies on a primary enabler, but not to worry, the enabler has a support group.
That's true. That's very true. I was once a prime enabler, and then I became a co-enabler as I helped a primary enabler. And then I became an entangled enabler as I still owed, you know, car payments for this person and insurance payments and other payments. And so as I was able to unentangle myself, then I became sympathetic towards the primary enabler and was feeling sorry for them and helping them. Well, the more I helped the primary enabler, the more it enabled her to help the addict. So I really wasn't helping the primary enabler. I was enabling her to just enable the addict even more. And then even this summer, as I was putting this book together, I realized I was still an enabler. I was just a detached enabler because I was attached to the sympathetic enablers and the entangled enablers that were in the circumstances trying to help them get out, and it was still adding to my suffering. So it wasn't until I backed up even more and said, no, you've got the book, you've got what you need. When you're ready to make a change, let me know, because they weren't ready to make changes. They just wanted sympathy for their situation. They just wanted to mull over and over and over again the trauma and the things that they were going through, but they didn't have any desire to change. They still wanted to fix the addict and the primary enabler, which is not possible.
And Doc, you, me, and everyone else, all of our unresolved guilt or wounds enable us to be enablers, I guess, or serve as a catalyst to help us enable?
Absolutely. They certainly can. I know if you look back, there are a lot of things in the past that really make us want to help others. I mean, I'm a physician. I was trained to help others. But sometimes you go from a healthy help to an unhealthy help, and that's where we went.
So, all right, so then Angie writes the Christian perspective out of this that has Scripture added in. Explain how the Scripture fits in with the enabling book that was already complete.
Principles, statutes, precepts, and commandments in the Bible. And as we pull those out and are able to identify those, then we can guide our thinking based upon principles and not based upon our emotions. Because if we follow our emotions, they're stupid, and they're going to lead us down a road. And what we need to do is realize that if we allow other people to climb their own mountains, that they can become stronger, that's what a healthy love is in 1 Corinthians 13. Even if I could have my body be burned, what good is it if I don't have love? Well, this book describes the lower levels of love and the higher levels of love so that they understand their best effort, even in enabling love. This is still lower levels of love. The higher levels of love is where you allow people to have their own consequences to their own choices and to learn from them and to also be able to climb their own mountains, just like you would allow a butterfly to come out of its cocoon. You would allow it to become stronger as it goes through its problems of getting out of that cocoon. So we have to allow children and young adults to face their own problems and to become strong and confident in themselves to overcome them.
You please describe what 1,000 Tears and Enabler's Journey is.
It is a book that took me 23 years to write. And I couldn't stop my anxiety until I would write. And as I would write, I would sat down and I would look at everything on the left and everything on the right, and I would make it analytical and not emotional so that I could understand what was going on, so I could understand what love really was and what love wasn't. I could understand what true repentance was and what false repentance looked like. I could understand what half-truths looked like and what was honorable. I could understand how entangled I was and what a toxic relationship looked like and a healthy relationship. And I just put everything on the left and the right, and I was able to analyze it, and then I was able to take a deep breath and go, oh, now I can breathe. Now I can breathe because I'm not crazy. I do see this, and I don't have to be entangled emotionally. I can make rational decisions based upon what's right.
Now, if I read scripture, I see a lot of words about grace and forgiving, but you talk more about a scriptural tough love that's written in there.
I talk about a tough love, and there's not any coddling of evil. There's a calling a spade a spade.
Okay. Well, why can't you just keep forgiving the addict?
We do forgive them, but doesn't mean that we have to be participating in their addiction. Doesn't mean that we're going to enable them to continue on a path of self-destruction.
And it also doesn't mean that you stop loving them.
Oh, never.
You continue loving them.
Absolutely.
But you have to detach yourself for your own protection and the protection of your other family members.
And you've taken this, you work primarily on the book,
mm-hmm.
but your daughter Sarah
mm-hmm.
helped.
Mm-hmm. And Perry was my constant counselor.
Okay.
I would take this stuff to him every night, and he was like, after years and years, he's like, I can't talk about it tonight. Maybe tomorrow night.
Okay. So, not tonight, I have headache. I hear that in my head, I'm sorry. But, okay. So, what do you do with all of this? You happen to work at Geisinger, and you're working on you're helping to lead a committee, not the lead, but helping to lead a committee that is obsessed with making sure that opioid helps are out there. And so this isn't really, this discussion isn't about opioids. This is all about enabling. You took this back to work and said, okay, I'm going to turn, not only I'm going to deal with this at home, but I'm going to make this a good part of my career's work too.
Well, actually, it is. You know about my work with the United Ways and the new United in Recovery umbrella that we have. I'm chair of the Behavioral Health and Addiction Impact Council at the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way. Chair one local opioid coalition. I'm actually on three other opioid coalitions now. And this is a big part of the work that I do when I'm out in the community. Is, you know, educating with Opioid 101, talking about stigma, and trying to help people one-on-one or in groups about how to detach and how to step back and evaluate the situation that they're in and see what they can do to help themselves.
All right, real quickly for our audience, we don't have much time left. If you're an addict, what should you do?
Seek help.
All right. And if you're an enabler, read A Thousand Tears, An Enabler's Journey, or the Christian Perspective mm-hmm. version of it. What else?
Absolutely. We also have a website where Angie does a blog. It's called enablersjourney.com. And we also have a series of small books coming, workbooks. And the first one is on detachment that should be out sometime in February. Takes a lot of the principles out of the two books, but it also asks a lot of questions, a lot of self-reflection questions. There's space for journaling and, you know, just setting back and looking and seeing where you are in your life in terms of enabling, or if you even are an enabler, which, if you really think about it, most of us are.
In one way or another. What should you do?
You should stop enabling. Because without an enabler, there is no addict. Because if it's not comfortable for him to continue on his path of destruction, then he's going to do something different right away, early on, before he gets hooked, before he gets addicted. So we can't help the addict until we help the enabler to realize we've got to do something early and quick to intervene. And spend your money with counselors and rehab centers and things like that when they're very young. And don't wait until you have spent all your money giving it to them, paying all their fees and fines and bails, bailing them out of jail and paying their lawyer bills, and now you have no money to really get them any treatment. Because now they're so far down the road that it's going to be very difficult for them to recover themselves and get out of that lifestyle.
Kick them out?
There's a whole lot of that in the book about what to do, when you need to do that, when that's something that needs to be done, and what accountability needs to happen if they're going to stay, so that you are safe, so that you have some peace, so you're not walking on eggshells all day, so that there is a plan of recovery. It's not if they live with you, it's not a place to nowhere. It's a place to somewhere. And the couch in the basement's a place to nowhere. So we need to give them a leg up and not a handout.
And 90% of this book, A Thousand Tears, An Enabler's Journey, at the Barnes & Noble this Saturday from 10 to 2. They'll be there signing, and on Amazon.com anytime. 90% of this book is this mental illness, disease, addiction to enabling.
Yep.
It's self-analysis. Yep. And fixes. There's a happy ending at the end of all of this.
I can have peace.
Close as you can get.
I can have peace, and I can have peace even when nobody else does, because I'm only responsible for me.
Nurse Meadows?
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Perry, thank you so much. Thank your daughter for participating in this, authoring of the book, and I guarantee I'll meet her someday, and I very much appreciate this. And A Thousand Tears, An Enabler's Journey. At the bookstores now, Dr. Perry Meadow and Angie Meadows here. Sarah Meadows also participating in writing the book.